2 Peter chapter 3 deals primarily, and that, with the second coming of the Lord. It deals with the day of the Lord, and I'm going to deal with that here in just a little bit. We'll honor Mom here in a little bit, okay? When I get done preaching, we'll honor Mom. And to be honest with you, I wished I had a Mother's Day message, but this ain't a Mother's Day message. And maybe tonight, I don't know. We'll see. But 2 Peter chapter 3, let's begin to read in verse 10. And the Bible says, "But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens shall pass away with great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Amen. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ye ought to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hastening unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that you look for such things, be diligent that you may be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless. And account that the long suffering of our Lord is salvation, even as our beloved Paul, our brother Paul, also according to the wisdom given unto him, hath written unto you, as also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable rest, as they do also the other scriptures, unto their own destruction. Ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things before, beware lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness. But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen." You can be seated this morning. Let's pray. Lord, we sure do love you. And if there's a day that I need you, it's right now. If there's a time, this is it. I pray that you'd touch and anoint us afresh while we preach. I pray that you'd guard our mind and our thoughts. And I pray you'd hinder Satan from this service. I pray that if there's somebody here today that needs to be saved, I pray they'd get saved. And Lord, I know we're going to honor Mom just here in a little bit, but for just a little while, I pray folk would be focused on the service. I pray they could be focused on the message, that if there's one here lost, that they might get under conviction and get saved. That they would realize that they're running out of time ever so quickly. And that, Lord, they need to get saved today. You died so they might get saved. Lord, we ask today you'd help the one that needs help. They may be folk in here struggling today. And Lord, they just need some help. And I pray you'd touch them. I pray that you'd allow us to preach what you'd have us to. That, Lord, we'd not only leave out of here different than what we come in, but we'd leave out of here better than what we come in. In service to you. Again, we love you. Thank you for dying for us. Pray now that you'd help. Save that sinner's nearest tale. For all this in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. When we look at the first part of this chapter in verses 1 through 9, the Apostle Peter, he talks about stirring up them by putting their minds in remembrance. And it's good to remember some things. It's good to get stirred up about some things. Brother Jeff, he read one of my most favorite scriptures in the Bible today in Colossians 2 and 10, where the scripture said, "And you're complete in him." And boy, when me and you can ever get a hold of that scripture and realize that we're complete in him, that ought to excite us today. Amen. There's nothing else that we can do or need to do, but when we've got him, we're complete. And boy, I thank God for that. But what he begins to stir them up about is the day of the Lord. He begins to talk about Jesus coming again. Now, he's not talking about the rapture of the church. I'm going to deal with that here in a minute. But he's literally talking about Jesus coming to this earth. You do realize he's coming again. You do realize he's coming to this earth. And you remember what Gabriel told Mary over there in Luke, said, "And he shall sit upon the throne of his father David and rule over the house of Jacob forever and ever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end." Hey, listen, that day is going to come. And that's when he comes back again. And that's what Peter is talking about right here. And he said there are those who scoff at his second coming. And they say, where is the promise of his coming? And we see that today. Folk will say, well, God's not come. Jesus is not come. He's promised to come, but he's not come. But I'll guarantee you, he's coming. Amen. How do you know he's coming? He came the first time. Listen, I believe that Jesus came the first time. We celebrate him at Christmas. And I believe if he came the first time through the promise of the Word of God, I believe he'll come the second time. Amen. But what does it say right here? There are those, they'll say that since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they are, as they were from the beginning of creation. And he said this, they are willingly ignorant of. And he begins to talk about the flood. Now, whether this is the flood of the gap theory or the flood of Noah's flood, whatever you want to believe today, I'm not going to argue with you right now. But the deal is right here, things are not the same. And that's what he was trying to prove right here. He is saying things are not the same as they are from the creation of the world. Things are different, and there's coming a day when things are going to change as we know them. And by the way, he begins to give us God's timeline right here in verse 8. He said, but be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. God don't get in a hurry. And I think me and you need to realize that. God don't get in a hurry. But I am going to tell you this. The day is hastening forth that he's coming again. And so he tells us right here in verse 9 that the Lord is not slack concerning his promise. What promise is of that? Verse 4, where is the promise of his coming? They ask, the promise of his coming. That's what he's talking about. Well, he's not slack concerning his promise. As some men count slackness. But here's why he's not come again. But he is long-suffering. Not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. That's why he's not come. It's not that he's not going to keep his promise. It's not that Jesus is not going to come again and rule and reign like Revelation 19 talks about. But he is being long-suffering to me and you and to this world. He wants everybody to get saved. And so when folks say they can't get saved, oh yeah they can. They can get saved. But then the Apostle Peter says in verse 10, but the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night. And if I could preach for just a little while, I want to preach on that day. Now, let me say today that that is not when Jesus comes to get the church. That is not 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 13 when he steps out on the clouds and says, come up hither. That's not that day. That's not 1 Corinthians 15 where Paul says, behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment of a twinkling of an eye. Listen, we're going to be here and then we're going to be there just like that. That's not this day right here that Peter's talking about. That's not that day. And I'm glad there is a catching away and a calling away and a rapture of the church. Whatever you want to call it, that day is coming. Amen. And then there's 7 years worth of tribulation. We see that in the book of Jeremiah chapter 30. He says, alas, for that day is great, so none is like unto it or not none is like it. It is even the time of what? Jacob's trouble. Matthew chapter 24. And I'm assuming you have to know some things for me to preach this and get a hold of it. Matthew 24, Jesus said that it was a time of tribulation like never was before and like will never be again. That day's coming. Amen. Listen, everybody's piling on Israel right now, ain't they? Even our president has said he's going to withhold, and I even think some of his party saying that's not a good thing to do, but he said I'm going to withhold. And here's what Benjamin Netanyahu said, we'll go along without the United States. And that's a scary thing right there. Amen. But listen, that tribulation time is not for the church. Romans chapter 5 tells us this in verse 8, but God commendeth his love toward us, and it, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. We're not going to go through the tribulation period. The church is not. I mean, we've got some folk think church is going to go through it. Some think the mid-tribbers that will go through half of it and then be took out. I don't think we're going through none of it. Amen. You can believe what you want to, but I'm going to be happy. Amen. and know that I'm not going to suffer the wrath of God.
Amen.
You can believe what you want to. But there is no tribulation in that for the church. Jesus took all that for us at Calvary.
Amen.
See, you've got to get a hold of that. You've got to get a hold of that. All my sin has been taken care of. All my judgment has been taken care of. That's what the tribulation is about. It's tribulation and judgment because of their sin.
Amen.
And I would encourage you not to miss the rapture. The Apostle Paul said in the book of 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Let me go over here. As he said in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 9, he said, even him, now talking about the Antichrist, whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders and with all deceivableness of unrighteous in them that perish because they receive not the love of the truth that they might be saved. For this cause God shall send them strong delusion that they should be a lie, believe a lie, and they all might be that they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but have pleasure and in righteousness. I'm telling you, when the church is gone, there is no opportunity for those that have heard the gospel to get saved. I really believe that's what Scripture teaches us. I think you need to get saved now while you have the opportunity. Where Jesus, where the Apostle Paul said over there in the book of Romans, what was it? He said, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. You trust Jesus to save you, and you call out on Him, and He will save you. And you go through the tribulation period in Matthew chapter 24. And that's what a lot of Matthew 24 is about. And we look, and what does he say after the tribulation in Matthew 24? Let me get there. Matthew 24, let me lay this out. We'll preach a while. Matthew 24, verse 29. We've come down to the end of the tribulation. The Bible says immediately after the tribulation. So that tells us where we are in the timeline of things. Immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens shall be shaken. I wouldn't want to be here.
No.
That right there is scary enough in itself. And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And he shall send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. And that's at 144,000, and those saved Jews over there. And so we find that day is coming, that it's going to come, that the sun ain't going to shine, the moon ain't going to shine, the stars are going to fall, and Jesus is coming back. And that's what Peter is talking about right here. He says it is the day of the Lord. First of all, number one, how will that day come? It'll come as a thief in the night.
That's right.
When nobody is looking for it to come. When nobody is expecting it to come. And when it is nighttime, when everybody is asleep. Notice he said, but the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night. Listen, the Bible talks about in Matthew chapter 25 when it deals with Israel over there, and we spiritualize it a lot of times and talk about those five foolish virgins and those five wise virgins, and we can make them fit today, but literally he's talking about Israel. But you know what he said over there? He said there was five wise and five foolish that was waiting on the bridegroom to come, and said five, that those that were foolish, they slept and they slumbered, and they didn't get no oil for their lamp. And said at midnight, looky there, it was at midnight. It was at a dark time, at a night time, when nobody was expecting the bridegroom and that to come. He come at midnight, and they called and said, the bridegroom comes. And the five foolish virgins, they said to the wise ones, give us some oil. And they said, we cannot, lest we don't have enough oil for ourselves. So they went out to get some. But while he came, those five foolish virgins missed their chance. I'm afraid, let me spiritualize this for just a minute. I'm afraid that some folk just going to miss their chance. They turn him away. And they say no. They say no. But I'm telling you, it's at a time when folk are not looking. They're not looking for him today. Imagine what it's going to be like when tribulation comes. The church is gone. All that's left is those 144,000 sealed Jews preaching a kingdom gospel that says repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Imagine that time right there. I mean, imagine a time going through the tribulation was it a fifth of the grass is burned up? Parts of the sun won't shine. Parts of the moon won't shine. Man looks for death and can't find it. I mean, it's just a horrible time, man. And that's just a little bit. That's just a little bit of what's going to happen. The starvation that's going to take place. We think it's bad now. We think that sin is running wicked now and it's running rampant now, but it's at a time when they're not looking for him. They're not looking for, the world's not looking for Jesus Christ to come again. They're not looking for his second come. They're not looking for the church to leave out of here. They're not even thinking that way today. Why is that? A lot of Christians ain't even thinking that way today. Amen. It's Bible said in the book of Isaiah, said it's at hand. How? For the day of the Lord is at hand. It's at hand. You know what the Bible said in the book? You say, well, it's at hand, but preacher, it's not God here. Well, let me show you something. That book of Hebrews. You go to the book of Hebrews, and you know what he tells us about the Lord Jesus? Let me get over here, and maybe I can prove a point right here. A God who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son. Last days. Hebrews chapter 1 verse 2 said we were already living in the last days. If they were in the last days, and I just believe the book. Amen. I just believe the book. Listen, if they were in the last days in Hebrews 1 and 2, chapter 1 and verse 2, imagine how much we're in the last days. I mean, imagine how this thing's about to wrap up. Imagine that we're living in the generation that Jesus is coming again. Imagine that we're living in the generation. Imagine if the Antichrist is already walking on the face of the earth right now. Think about that. Ain't that something? And he has set up kingdoms over there. And I mean, this is just something to think about and look at. But I'm telling you, that day is coming. And I don't think it's too far off, friend. But it'll come as a thief in the night, but it is at hand, it's close. And friend, if we know that it's close, then don't you want to be ready to meet Jesus? Amen. I mean, you need to be ready to meet him. Joel chapter 1 said the same thing. Alas, for the day of the Lord is at hand. Ezekiel 30, for the day is near, even the day of the Lord, it is a cloudy day. Imagine that. But you know what? 2 Peter chapter 3, I read it or quoted it a few minutes ago, knowing this verse, that there shall come in the last days scoffers walking after their own lust, saying, where is the promise of his coming? Do we not hear that today? Do we not hear that he says he come, but we ain't seen him? He's not come. 2 Peter chapter 3 says this, know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. Man, are we not living in dangerous times?
Right.
I'm serious now. Now I'm being honest. And I remember as a young preacher, I'd preach this stuff, and we'd talk about, man, it's dangerous right now.
That's right.
Man, it's dangerous. People just as soon as kill you, just look at you.
Yeah.
I mean, seriously, I mean, it's dangerous to be out and about. This know also in the last days, perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful and unholy. Well, if that's ever a time. Without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, they can't restrain themselves, fierce despisers of those that are good. I've told you over and over and over again, there are people that hate us simply because we're good people.
Yeah.
You try to do good, you try to do right because you're serving Christ and you want to do good, but they will hate you because you're good. No other reason. Traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures, more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away.
Right.
We're living in that time. That is that time. That, I mean, things are just becoming more and more wicked all the time. But that day is going to catch people unaware. Don't let it catch you unaware. Don't be here to let it catch you unaware. But what is that day? It's not a good day. Not for the world. It's not a good day for the world. I mean, it's going to catch them unaware. And I mean, if they've made it through the tribulation period, they've seen everything. And a lot of people say, well, preacher, it's awful bad now. Just wait. It is going to get worse. Bless the post-millennialist heart that thinks we're going to get better and usher in the kingdom. Man, we are devolving as a generation. We are devolving as a people. People are getting worse. They're not getting better. I mean, it's just getting more and more wicked all the time. I mean, we're not going to get it better and usher in the kingdom. And I'll be honest with you, it seems like it just got bad overnight, didn't it? I mean, just like that. It seems like that things has just got worse. I know it's been leading up to it. I understand that. I get that. But what kind of day is it? It's not a good day. Amos 5. So what's the day the Lord comes back? Yeah, it's good for us. I mean, He's going to set everything straight. I mean, He's going to make everything all right. I'm going to deal with that. But listen, it's not a good day. Amos 5 said, woe unto you that desire the day of the Lord. To what end is it for you? The day of the Lord is darkness and not light. As if a man did flee from a lion and a bear met him. And he went into a house and leaned his hand on the wall and a serpent bit him. Boy, it's a bad day, ain't it? I walked into my building yesterday. And I've got a bird's nest up in the soffit of my building. And I walked in and a couple of years ago that nest, she was raising some little ones in it. And I had a snake trying to get up there to it. And I got that thing killed before it got up there. And I went out to my building yesterday, opened the door, and I've always been looking up there since she raised some more young'uns in there this year. And I looked up, and there the snake was on the rafter of my building. And so I turned the light off, shut the door, and almost struck a match. Amen. I wanted to get rid of him, that's for sure. Amen. I went back out there about 20, 30 minutes later, and he was gone. I don't know where he went. He was probably watching me, but I couldn't see him, so I was all good. Amen. But notice what it said in the book of Amos. This is what it's talking about, the day of the Lord. He said, woe unto you that desire the day of the Lord. He said, it's a day of darkness and not of light, as if a man did flee from a lion and a bear met him. And then you had to run from the bear and went into a house and lean on the wall, thinking that you'd escape, and a serpent bit him. Shall not the day of the Lord be darkness and not light, even very dark and no brightness in it? It's a dark day. It's a dark day. It is a day of destruction. When Jesus, you know what Peter said over here? He said, but the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Everything that we do down here in a moment of time is gone. It's just gone. All the history of mankind, burn up. All the good deeds we've done, burn up. All the wickedness of man, burn up.
That's right.
It's all burn up. I mean, everything's gone. All the good things, all the bad things, all the things that we've looked forward to, all the roots that we've put down here in this world, it's all gone. Why do you think he said, seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons you ought to be in all holy conversation and godliness? That is the thing that will last, you see. The way we carried ourselves and served Jesus and lived for him. He said it'll be darkness, but it'll all pass away. It's a day of destruction. How ye, Isaiah said, how ye for the day of the Lord is at hand. It shall come as a destruction from the Almighty. Isaiah 13:9, behold, the day of the Lord cometh cruel, both with wrath and fierce anger, to lay the land desolate, and he shall destroy the sinners thereof out of it. It's going to lay it all desolate. Everything that we have worked for and wanted and seen. I understand being a young person. I understand trying to live a life on this earth. You want stuff and you want to have fun while you're down here. But I'm telling you, it's all going to burn up at the end. Those houses we build, listen to me now. Those houses we build, them homes that we have. Those things, and listen, I believe in having a good-looking house. If you want one, help yourself. Listen, but I'm telling you what matters is whether you're saved and whether you're serving Jesus or not. I mean, the day of the Lord's coming. It's all getting destroyed. And all that's going to be left is what will make it through the fire, according to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. That's it. Joel chapter 1, alas, for the day of the Lord is at hand. And he said the same thing as Isaiah did. And as a destruction from the Almighty shall it come. We go to Isaiah chapter 2, and he tells us it's not only a day of destruction, but it is a day of judgment against sinners. Isaiah 2, and this is a lot to read here, and I know I'm reading a lot today, but I want you to get a hold of it. I want you to see it. Isaiah chapter 2, I'll begin in verse 6. And therefore thou hast forsaken thy people, the house of Jacob, because they replenish from the east and are soothsayers like the Philistines. And they please themselves in the children of strangers. Their land also is full of silver and gold, neither is there any end of their treasures. Their land is also full of horses, neither is there any end of their chariots. Their land also is full of idols. They worship the work of their own hands, that which their own fingers have made. And the mean man boweth down, and the great man humbleth himself. And therefore forgive them not. And he's talking about bowing down unto that idol, you see. Enter into the rock and hide thee in the dust for fear of the Lord and for the glory of His majesty. The lofty looks of man shall be humbled, and the haughtiness of men shall be bowed down, and the Lord alone shall be exalted in that day. Boy, that's a good day. Man, we're going to be on the backside of all that. I mean, according to Revelation 19, I really believe that we're them people dressed in white coming back with Him. Amen. I'll be honest with you, I've not rode a horse since I was a boy, but I believe I can figure it out. Amen. I believe I can figure it out. The last time I rode it, anyway. Amen. And the Lord alone shall be exalted in that day. For the day of the Lord, here it is, of hosts, shall be upon every one that is proud and lofty, and upon every one that is lifted up, and he shall be brought low. And upon the cedars of Lebanon that are high and lifted up, and upon the oaks of Bashan, and upon all the high mountains, and upon all the hills that are lifted up, and upon every high tower, and upon every fence wall, and upon all the ships of Tarshish, and upon all pleasant pictures. And the loftiness of man shall be bowed down, and the haughtiness of men shall be made low, and the Lord alone shall be exalted in that day. And the idols shall be utterly abolished, shall he utterly abolish. And they shall go into the holes of the rocks and into the caves of the earth for the fear of the Lord and of the glory of his majesty when he ariseth to shake terribly the earth. In that day a man shall cast his idols of silver and his idols of gold, which they have made, each one for himself to worship, to the moles and to the bats. Man alive. They're making their idols to moles and bats. But he says, you know, he's going to have to get rid of them. To go into the clefts of the rocks and into the tops of the ragged rocks for the fear of the Lord and for the glory of his majesty when he ariseth to shake terribly the earth. Cease ye from man whose breath is in his nostrils, for wherein is he to be accounted of? He said, there's coming that day. There's coming that day. We find that day in Revelation chapter 6 and that synopsis over there. And that synopsis of what's being given in the whole end time. And you know what they say in Revelation 6 at the day of the Lord when he comes? Revelation 6. Let me see if I can find it. And the Bible said, and I beheld. And when he had opened the sixth seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as blood, and the stars of heaven fell unto the earth, even as a fig tree casteth her untimely figs when she's shaken of a mighty wind. Seems like we've already heard this. And the heaven departed as a scroll when it is rolled together, and every mountain and every island were moved out of their places. And the kings of the earth, and the great men, and the rich men, and the chief captains, and the mighty men, and every bondman, and every free man, hid themselves in dens and in rocks of the mountains, and said unto the mountains and rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne. Now listen, and from the wrath of who? The wrath of the Lamb. Yeah. Ain't that something? The wrath of the Lamb.
Yeah.
He's still seen as the Lamb. Who was the Lamb? That was Jesus Christ. He's the one who died for man's sin. But yet they're going to see him as the Lamb. But he's going to be wrathful right there. For the great day of his wrath is come. And who shall be able to stand? It's a day when he is going to bring judgment upon sinners. It's a day when he is going to set some things right that have been wrong. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, the Apostle Paul puts it like this to the church at Thessalonica. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, and he's trying to give them some comfort in the day of the Lord. And he said this, seeing it is a righteous thing with God to recompense tribulation to them that trouble you, and to you who are troubled, rest with us, when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flame and fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. You know what he told the church at Thessalonica? He said, them that are persecuting you, them that are trying to kill you and trying to do you harm, just rest with me in this one thing. The day of the Lord's coming. Amen. That's what Paul's saying. We may not be able to take care of them now, and God may not set this thing right now, but there's coming a day he's going to fix it all. There's coming a day when all those that are lost, he's going to condemn, he's going to judge in their sin and cast them into an eternal lake of fire. Don't be there. Don't be there for that condemnation. Don't be there for that judgment. I'm going to tell you what, he takes the church personally. Remember what he told Saul of Tarsus over there when he met him on the road to Damascus? Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? Who was he persecuting? He was persecuting the church. And he said, why do you persecute me, Saul? Why are you trying to hurt me? And it was the church that Saul was trying to kill. He takes that stuff personally. I'm telling you, he's going to set it all right. Yes. He's going to make it all okay. You read Revelation chapter 19, when he comes back. We've come to the end of things in Revelation 19. It's come pretty close. And I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse. And he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and his head were on his head were many crowns. And he had a name written that no man knew but himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. That's Jesus Christ. There are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Spirit. Verse 14, and the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses clothed in fine linen, white and clean. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations, and he should rule them with a rod of iron. And he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and the wrath of the Almighty God. And he hath on his vesture and on his thigh name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. That's that day. That's that day that Jesus talked about in Matthew 24, when the tribulation's over with and the heaven rolls back, the sun won't shine, the moon won't shine, the stars in heaven fall out of their place, and heaven rolls back like a scroll, and there he is. That's it. Now, if you're saved, you won't be here for that.
That's right.
I thank God for that.
Amen.
I won't have to be here for that.
No.
No, sir, no, ma'am. He saved me from that. He's took care of me from that. Why are you so excited? Because according to the book of Zephaniah, it's a day when man can't do nothing about it. I mean, we think we can put a stop to things now. We probably can do some things today. But you know what Zephaniah said? Let me read this. Zephaniah 1 and verse 7, hold thy peace at the presence of the Lord God, for the day of the Lord is at hand. For the Lord hath prepared a sacrifice. He hath bid his guests. And it shall come to pass in the day of the Lord's sacrifice that I will punish the princes and the king's children and all such as are clothed with strange apparel. In the same day will I also punish all those that leap on the threshold, which fill their master's houses with violence and deceit. And it shall come to pass in that day, saith the Lord, that there shall be a noise of a cry from the fish gate and an howling from the second, and a great crashing from the hills. How ye inhabitants of Maktesh, for all the merchant people are cut down. All they that buy our silver are cut off. And it shall come to pass at that time that I will search Jerusalem with candles and will punish the men that are settled on their leaves that say in their heart, the Lord will not do good, neither will he do evil. Therefore their goods shall become a booty and their houses a desolation. They shall also build houses, but not to inhabit them. And they shall plant vineyards, but not to drink the wine thereof. The great day of the Lord is near, it is near and hasteneth greatly. Even the voice of the day of the Lord, the mighty man, shall cry there bitterly. That day is a day of wrath, a day of trouble and distress, a day of wasteness and desolation, a day of darkness and gloominess, a day of clouds and thick darkness. A day of the trumpet and alarm against the fenced cities and against the high towers. And I will bring distress upon men, and they shall walk like blind men, because they have sinned against the Lord, and their blood shall be poured out as dust, and their flesh is done. Neither their silver nor their gold shall be able to deliver them in that day of the Lord's wrath. But the whole land shall be devoured by the fire of his jealousy. For he shall make even a speedily riddance of all them that dwell in the land. I mean, God's going to, I mean, you ever heard that saying, I'm going to clean their plow? That's what's going to happen.
Yes.
He's going to come in and he's going to wipe man out. All the wicked, he's just going to wipe them out. You say, well, preacher, that's not exciting. I wish folk would get saved.
Amen.
I mean, he is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish.
Amen.
But Jesus gave himself so that you could get saved. So what are you supposed to do about that day? Well, the first thing is be ready against that day. Be ready for that day. I mean, I know that he's going to come and get the church before this day. I realize that and I understand that. But you know what the text verse said in verse 14? He said, we do look for, according to promises, we do look for new heavens and a new earth. But he said, wherefore, beloved, seeing that you look for such things, be diligent that you may be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless. How do you do that? That's in Christ Jesus. That's the only way you can be blameless and without blame, without spot, is to be found in Christ Jesus. Revelation 1 said, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. So you need to be ready. We sing that old song sometimes. Are you ready? Are you ready? Let me ask you this today. And if this day, and I know for some people they struggle with the set of things, how the Lord has set things up. The rapture of the church changes things. It sets in motion what we see in this book right here.
That's right.
Now I want you to listen to me, because it gets very important right here. Because you need to know you're saved. You need to understand this. Salvation, listen to me now. Salvation is the most important thing that you can have in your life. It's important that you get saved. It's important that you know you're saved. Because, I mean, there is peace and joy in Christ. Amen. But you need to understand that when He comes to get the church, that sets in motion things that ain't going to change. See, right now you can change your destiny by trusting Jesus Christ. You can change what's going to happen at the end of your life. You can change that by trusting Christ Jesus. But I'm going to tell you, when the rapture of the church happens, when the church is out of here, your destiny's set. It's not going to change. It's not going to. And friend, you're going to have to suffer and that through the tribulation period. And I would hate to miss the catching away of the church. I would hate to think that my mom and dad was leaving and I wasn't going. I would hate to think that my spouse was going and I wasn't going. I would hate to think that Mama and Papa was going, but I wasn't going. I would hate to think I was going to be left here. He said, preacher, you're trying to scare me. Yes, I am. I want you to get hold of that thing. I want you to think about eternity, because no matter what you believe or no matter what you think, that book is right. Listen, if you get left here, you're going to die in your sin and go to hell. That's what's going to happen. That's what's going to happen. You need to fix that. You can fix that by the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. We ought to be warning others. Colossians 1 said, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of the mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. And then Paul said this, whom we preach, warning every man. He said, we're warning every man. He said, I'm teaching every man in all wisdom that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. But he said, I'm warning them that they need to get right with God. When you have to warn somebody, that means there's a danger. There's a danger at the day of the Lord. If you make it through the tribulation period and you get through all that, you don't get to win because you made it to the end. You just don't. You're going to be wiped out with the rest of the wicked. That's going to be the end of it. So what do we do? What did he say? Verse 11. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be? What manner of persons ought you to be in all holy conversation and godliness? We ought to live a life pleasing unto God. You ought to get saved and then live a life pleasing unto God. And you ought to live a life that others can see Jesus in you to win them and that to God. That day is coming. Are you ready for that day? Let's bow our heads today if we would.